So what's on your mind?
Just trying to keep it all going. And just trying to make sure that Ryan doesn't win this year.
Oh, I hear he's doing pretty well.
He's doing very well. So well that he even took a week off.
That's good. This is the only call he's doing, this one.
Well, yeah. I asked him if it would be all right, so we didn't.
I just walked Barry through the new account 6 times. but yes, this is my last call for the day, hopefully.
Yeah, I'm supposed to go kayaking at 4:30, so I've got to hustle.
Well, we can do a quick call. I asked him to stay on schedule. So
we can keep up with Ryan's we can meet everybody, everybody. I'm sure they're going to be attacking him.
Yeah. But we're just trying to keep the momentum and keep everything moving forward that we have done so far. You know, Ryan's done a good job of pulling in money. I'm having a decent year. Tim's having a decent year as well. So we're just trying to keep everything moving forward from that regard.
So what is, what's going on? Let's, on marketing. What's marketing initiatives?
Zero. We're about to get our new materials with the new team and rebrand that. We're gonna have a name change and we're gonna have more formal stuff to be able to put out. We're looking at getting our strategies approved by the firm also. So that's another goal of ours right now. To try to get, you know, some stuff we can show people. But it's just been, you know, we're having less challenges now. Eric's team has a digital marketing contact in New York and we're going to be able to get stuff through with them much easier than our current situation, for sure.
Yes, nothing like the big dog. It helps.
Well, that's one of the main reasons. Yes. So they have somebody from doing the LinkedIn. They have somebody doing, maybe even Facebook as well. So they have stuff that's written for them that's gets blasted out.
We're also going to have customizable, LinkedIn posts and stuff too, Rob. Like our firm is allowing customized, LinkedIn posts and stuff. But, right now we've got a situation where if we put anything up, we can get in trouble afterwards. So, you know, that's a problem.
Yeah.
If we put the wrong stuff up.
Yeah. Just don't put the wrong stuff up.
Well, yeah. At least this way we'll have the ability to we'll have the ability to have the stuff pre-screened before it goes up. Because right now we can put it up, but then if we put up the wrong stuff, we're in trouble afterwards. So this way we can, what we do is we send it to this guy and then they screen it before it gets posted. So we kind of have pre-approval before anything actually hits the board, which is much better.
Yeah. This is,
We looked into this because Ryan and I were thinking last week that, I mean, most people would pay money to hear the conversations that Ryan and I have from a portfolio management perspective and our insights on the markets. And so I challenged him to see if we can start posting stuff on LinkedIn, you know, specific as it relates to what we're doing, almost like a blog. You know, if it's one or two lines, 2-3 times a week maybe. And so we were kind of kicking that around, with the strategies and with this whole migration of the new team.
I think we're looking for differentiation. Like, If you go on LinkedIn, Rob, I'm sure you see about 600 financial advisor posts where it's like, Merrill Lynch is offering the top rewards programs for its wealthy clients, or whatever the case is, offering this, that, and another. So please excuse the stripper in the background, she says. That was Elise.
I saw it.
I did too. Didn't miss a beat.
She works out. But, you know, we're trying to differentiate ourselves, you know, cause it's like, you see, you know, trying to like do that, separate the signal from the noise stuff where it's like, I go on there and it's the same post from the same people over and over again about, you know, Morgan Stanley's new research or Merrill Lynch's new whatever. And it's just like, people I think are sick of that. People want like digestible, you know, actionable, something that they can, that's going to stand out from the crowd. And I think that's kind of what we're trying to get towards. From that standpoint, I don't want to just automatically post the boilerplate material that's coming out. I mean, it puts you in front of mind when someone sees it, but it doesn't really do anything to enhance your brand. I don't think it's just almost like a reminder you exist.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
On top of that, it opens up the conversation where they can say, well, why do you guys know so much about Viacom? Well, it's in a strategy that we run that was up 35% in 2020 with all the volatility that we had, type of deal where, you know, right now we're not promoting our investment side of the house as much as we should be or could be. And performance is really good. I mean, people should, and Rob, you said this maybe 2 weeks ago, I think, you know, people should be begging us to take their money, not the other way around. And we were just trying to figure out how to make that happen.
Well, that's probably the part you can't put on there.
Right.
You can teach people what portfolio management is. You just can't tell them that we're up 35% and you should do business with us. I know that. Anyway.
Part of the mousetrap. Part of the mousetrap to open up the, you know, to beg the question. And to Ryan's point, you know, we just don't want it to be the corporate jargon that New York's pushing down for everybody to kind of boilerplate out. We're thinking about maybe more of a blog type of, you know, something that's going to take Ryan no more than 7 or 10 minutes to put together and send to this guy. This guy's going to put the requisite compliance taglines on the bottom and boom, publish it out for Larry, Barry, Ryan, and myself, you know, kind of the Overtone Group. Well, we haven't gotten that far. We talked about that, but you know, whether it's going to be just Ryan being the lead PM for the team, putting out his thoughts of the day on these actionable ideas that are in the strategy, or if we're all just kind of do it as a team effort. You know, we haven't gotten that far, but that's kind of the plans that we were talking about last.
Yeah, Rob, there's a really successful financial advisor that writes a daily newsletter that goes out to about 1,500 people. And they've got a couple $1 billion and they manage for about 1,000 FAs. And, you know, that's not the model we're looking to do. But what I'm saying is like, I read that guy's newsletter every day for like a decade, you know, just about, you know, because he was, you know, he's smart and he's eloquent. As a guy that runs the covered call strategy that we've been spanking. And everything he says in the newsletter, you know, says like, his brand is very knowledgeable and capable and everything, but it's just one of those situations where, Anna, will you look at these real quick? It's just one of those situations.
No.
Okay. It's just one of those situations where we have like, no, they limit us on what we're allowed to say, but like this guy's basically saying whatever he wants to financial advisors. And everyone, you know, reads it, so everyone thinks he's a genius. And even though his performance sucks, if you think he's a genius while you're reading the newsletters, you still have the confidence in what he's doing, even though the performance has not been there. So I'm just trying to like, you know, are we trying to instill a brand and get a brand awareness and just get people comfortable with our thought process? Because a lot of the investors that we work with, their biggest thing is trying to figure out how we're doing what we're doing and is it repeatable and, you know, what are we actually doing, you know, kind of behind the scenes. Now, Eric is against really going into a lot of detail on that. He's like, people shouldn't ask me what I'm doing. You know, like I don't need to explain why I'm buying a stock to a client. Generally speaking, you know, I've been on the other side of the fence, like really far, where basically I've had like deep explanations about what we're doing and how we're doing it. So I'm not sure which is better. I mean, my selling style has been like to show clients kind of behind the curtain and then they can be more comfortable with what's happening. But some people, you know, I don't know. Eric thinks that we shouldn't necessarily go into as much detail on that. What are your thoughts on that, Rob?
In a public way, you mean, or when you're selling?
When I'm selling, like if I got a prospect.
You know, I think, you know, the engineers are going to want to know how the watch works, and the other guys are going to just say, you know, that's, you did your financial plan on me. This is how you want to manage the money. I'll check in at the end of the year and see how you did. So right. There are some people you don't need to sell. So you customize. When we learn to sell and teach and coach, it's all about style, right? You want to have the right style. Your style should match your client's style. So if it's a type A personality, wants to get on, get off, you get on, get off, tell him what he needs to know and get out of there. But if it's an engineer type person that wants to know exactly how it works or loves the market and wants to know how it works, then tell him.
Okay. That's what I tend to do, but.
Yeah. You're not going to tell the widow how it works. Okay.
Right.
She doesn't care and she doesn't understand it and she's just going to feel like an idiot.
She thinks Larry's running the models.
Right.
Larry's doing this. He's older than us.
God forbid.
That makes sense, right? If you find somebody that, you know, they're an analyst in our industry and they want to know how the hell you're doing this, tell them. You know.
Okay.
I think it makes sense rather than, you know, Bernie Madoff's secret sauce. No.
Is it fair to say, Rob, at this point, you think right now, like, we just need to shut the hell up and start marketing to COIs and to get out there? I mean, we've had that conversation on some of our calls where, you know, performance is there. Our books segmented pretty good. I mean, we can always do better with that. But at this point, I feel like the majority of our focus needs to be on, you know, pipeline development and client acquisition and then just maintaining our 1242s and,
Yeah, I think you should be spending 100% of your time on marketing and growing. I mean, look, you guys have got a good system. I mean, you know, you got to do your 1242s. So that's what? 30% of your time, that gives you 70% of your time to do something else. The rest of that time should be spent growing. And you got 7 strategies to grow. Use those 7 to grow. I mean, you're not going to grow your strategies with a newsletter. Okay. You're not going to grow by, you know, coming up with some administrative thing. You grow by getting introductions to people that are interested in having somebody manage their money for them. So whatever you're doing to get in front of those or planting the seeds to get in front of those is what you should be doing. So that's what you should be talking about every day. What did you do to plant the seed to get us in the position to grow our business? Who did you talk to? What, you know, did you set up a new mastermind group? Did you put one new center of influence on the books?
And with the center of influences, or, you know, do you believe we should have 3 people when we're giving names out? I know we kind of have.
You're required to.
Okay, so. We're supposed to give out 3 names, which is kind of like our lead dog, our on deck and our in the hole, so to speak.
Right.
Do you think that, what's the way to say it? we should all have three. We should have three each, correct? We shouldn't be taking the team and focusing on three or four. We should have 12 total as opposed to three or four.
Yeah, or you should have three of your own. And you might have, you know, but keep in mind that different CPAs have different minimums, just like you guys do.
Right.
So if you guys each had different CPAs with different minimums, that would, you know, you'd have your stair step to the stars. So you'd know who to refer what to along the way.
So with the exception of like one advisor I know, like this advisor we used to work with, Michael Shapiro, he was bringing in 50, 60 million a year by himself. And he's a former CPA and attorney practicing. And he just owned like the attorney referrals. Like they all would send him business just like constantly. And like, oh, I got a $6 million estate case from this guy today. And like tomorrow I'll be like, oh, I got $12 million coming in. And I'm like, I'm just like, you know, I got sick of it, quite frankly. Like, you know, he's an animal. You know, I just feel like, with the exception of him though, a lot of people, they get like one or two people that like make their career. I mean, is that a fair statement where it's like,
my brother had one person that made his career. Yep.
Well, I think the distinguishing factor on Shapiro is he was shameless in asking. I think giving me referrals as Michael Shapiro was part of the sales process where we're going to plan for you. We're going to invest for you. And you're going to give me referrals as they come up. And that's kind of how he did it. And he was just completely shameless. He would speed date. He goes to these events. He would talk to you for 30 seconds to 45 seconds. If it was a value, he'd push it to maybe 90 seconds, get your business card and move on. If there was no value in the first 30 to 45 seconds, he would rudely just turn and walk away to the next, group of people or what have you. Very interesting feedback on people who observed him. Firsthand.
I worked with a big producer like that when I was a banker, this guy Kurt Sylvia, and he was heading up a billion-dollar team back in 2005. Same thing, man. If there was a meeting that looked like it was like Nowhereville, he'd basically just get up and leave. It was like the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. Like, oh, and we're done.
This is kind of probably a bad question to ask in front of Rob, but do we have a list of all of our team COIs that we can compile a list and kind of, I mean, I know you guys have them individually, but.
Yeah, I've got it in my head, and I can count it on not that many hands.
I'm just saying
we don't have a formalized list.
And treating them more as clients on the, you know, monthly reach out and
in terms of professional sending business, the list is not like extraordinarily long, you know? Like, it's not like we've got, like, I can't remember all the places that people are coming from. Pull it up, Ben. Oh, God. I'm sorry. My daughter is crying about everything. Like, she couldn't open the door, so now that's crying. So, I mean, in terms of COI, is like, Larry, you know, full transparency, Larry. Let's say, how many referrals have we gotten from CPAs in the last couple of years? Tracy, Lucy, John Lista that went nowhere, or, you know, that's the Ted and Ruth where we can't get them on the phone. Actually, let's ask Rob about that case study here in a second. Peter, has he said anything decent?
No.
So, I mean, there's maybe four CPAs that have sent something, and I think it's zero attorneys. Have we gotten any attorney referrals, Larry? I mean, Adam Marshall's grandma or whatever.
Yeah, but that was personal. That wasn't a business related issue.
Right.
But other than that, we have.
He's giving us his personal
accounts. But other than that,
no. But why wouldn't he refer client accounts if we're going to refer his mother? Why wouldn't he give us someone else? You know what I mean? It's weird.
That's a good question.
But yeah, Rob, like we got this really nice referral case from this guy up in New Jersey that Larry stripped on for a long time that we had a mutual client with. And the guy had about, I don't know, he had maybe $5 million, managed most of it himself. When we were up in New York, he had us come visit him and his wife in Morristown, New Jersey. We sat down, had an incredible couple hour meeting. had a couple hour follow up twice. And then the guy's like, you know, let me think about this and I'll be back to you. Then like went radio silent for a few months. And then like he said, oh, I had a health scare. Sorry. Let's get back together. And then completely ghost, vanished. And I don't think he's dead because he's talking with the CPA. And the CPA is like, oh yeah, he loved you guys. You should give him a call. But he's not responding to anything. Like I would send him an old timey singing telegram at this point. But the other side of it is if we have to work this hard to get him on the phone, I don't know if we want him as a client, but it's just weird because everything went right and then it just completely stopped. It's like, I'm like the crazy girlfriend waiting for Johnny Football to call. Like it's weird. It really upsets me.
Well, one of the things to do is to go back to the CPA and say, tell him what happened. And you feel like before you completely ignore this guy again, you'd like a Zoom introduction or a phone introduction again, because he won't take our phone calls. So I'd like at least an explanation of what has happened. And the CPA should know that this guy is doing what he's doing. You shouldn't just leave it.
I did tell the CPA that we've went silent, and he said, you know, just give him a call. I said, well, we haven't been able to, he hasn't returned any of our calls yet.
All right. So Rob's saying have the CPA see if he can, if John can set up a joint call for us, maybe. We have nothing to lose.
Lose. Exactly.
Right. And at least, you know, basically look you in the eye and say no. We want a yes or a no. We don't want a maybe or a we'll talk to you in 6 months or whatever. We want a no. Give us a no and we'll be on our way, but we don't want to leave you until we get a no.
Correct.
Right.
That way we know we're not leaving you in a lurch or, you know, I know you've had health issues. You had this, you had that.
Right. So doesn't that make sense? Yes is the answer.
And Rob, do you think this team merger that we're going through, do you think that helps the sales process with this guy who's kind of shut the door on us? Is maybe, hey, we're looking at Connect and, you know, we've made some changes. No. And the change includes joining the top blah, 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 blah team in Morgan Stanley. And that's what we're doing now.
I mean, you and I would be, that's like guessing as to what a witness is going to say. We have no idea.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think it really matters. It's us they're buying regardless of whether we were merging or not merging. It's still us that they're going to be dealing with. So.
Well, I just remember that when we were going through the process with him, it was before I really spruced up our website. And, you know, our web presence was, you know, I used to joke it looked like a fifth grader did it. But, you know, early on, those conversations we had with him, he was definitely checking the website, and it was nothing to brag about. And we've kind of come through a full evolutionary process since then with a good, better website. And again, you know, joining this team with a lot of resourcing. I just don't know if it's going to be enough that we're not just, you know, Slick Rick, Morgan Stanley, financial advisors working out of a strip mall somewhere.
So I would.
Where he had 12 of them.
I would in your Monday marketing meeting, which you have every Monday, right? You have a Monday marketing meeting.
Oh, yeah.
Monday, right? Yes.
Right.
Your Monday marketing meeting, I would make a list of your centers of influence, and I'd each make up a folder for each of those centers of influence and bring the physical folder to the meeting, even though it's a virtual meeting, okay? So each of you say, I've got three centers of influence right now, and here are my three folders, and I'm going to put them in the scheduler, and I'm going to call them once a month.
Okay,
and that would be step one, and then we would go to step two, which would be adding a center of influence. So now instead of each having three, you'd each have four. You build a folder for them. You put them in the scheduler, and you call them once a month. We're not repeating the behaviors that we are going to want to duplicate. You're not doing the things you need to do in order to grow your practice. So you just have to start somewhere and begin.
And Ryan, have you done that with Pat yet? Or is he on your schedule or calendar?
Pat Mangan? No, he is not.
Okay. We may, somebody needs to do that, whether you want to do it. If you're not going to do it, then I'll jump on it with him. But yeah.
No, you know, like, I think we referred somebody to him last year.
We did, Alex Petrovic.
And, you know, he's doing well. Like, I don't know. Like, I know he does business. Like, he's up in the Palm Beach crowd with, and he's dealing with some of the Northern Trust and Bessemer people on cases and everything. And, you know, I don't know. And that's something where I'm sure, you know, and Rob, I'm going to ask this question to briefly address, and I'm sure you say it in the book somewhere, so I apologize. But you know, when we have some of these relationships where we think we're, you know, doing an okay job, maybe it's just like, you know, we're not, like you said, not repeating the process enough. Like, at what point can we ask someone like, hey, you know, what is it that we're not doing, or what is it that you're not seeing? Or, you know, especially if, you know, we thought we were going to hit it off with somebody and we sent some business, like, you know, I've got this guy that lives in my neighborhood and we fed him a couple of deals already. I mean, he's probably been able to bill $7,000 or $10,000, and he got signed up for trustee on two of Barry's clients that are older, where he's going to be corporate trustee and he's going to make some serious money on those. At this point, I want to say, you know, what the hell, man? What is it? What are we missing here? Like, you know, because I don't want to keep feeding this guy business if it's not coming back.
Let me ask you a question. Have you taught him the enthusiastically endorsed model?
No, I've not had the enthusiastically endorsed model conversation with him. I actually believe I have said, you know, when you're talking to people, I believe I had said, you know, ask if it's, you know, if you can enthusiastically endorse a financial advisor. I do believe I've said that phrase to him, but we did the steps like, excuse me 1 second. What is that? Get out of the fridge. My 3-year-old is climbing the fridge shelves. Shut the fridge now. Excuse me 1 second.
Remember those good days, Rob?
Yes. Okay, so Ryan, you're on mute.
I know, I'm yelling at my daughter. 1 second.
Okay. I kind of wanted to hear it, didn't you, Larry?
Good times. Every time I hear him blow his gasket, it just reminds me of
there, I made your cookies. But I don't want a cookie. Well, then too bad. There's no popsicles. They're all melted. The freezer broke. Because this $1 million house can't have a freaking freezer that works, right? Yeah, well, this is like Thermidor range and fridge and all this fancy stuff. Here's the garbage disposal. It's this rusting thing right here that doesn't work, that's not hooked up to anything. And the freezer is not freezing. So,
nice.
That's cute. Yeah. So, we're cooking for like 15 people with no garbage disposal. Excuse me 1 second.
Awesome.
Nice view. So one of the, you know, there's what, step one, step two, step three, step four, step five, I think, is teach the enthusiastically endorsed model. That's what you guys should be doing. And let me tell you something. I've explained it to you 15 times, right? And that doesn't matter. You still don't use it. So just because you explain something to a client once doesn't mean that they're going to do it. It means that you need to repeat it until they do it. Because they're not going to do it until they're ready. And you don't know when they're going to be ready. They're going to be ready when you put the heat on them and say, hey, giving you 4 introductions, we use this enthusiastically endorsed model to get them. How is it working for you? And they say, I don't know what you're talking about. And you teach it again. The key is to be friends, become friends with these folks. Okay. If you're not friends.
I am like I go running with him. Like my daughter had an ice cream truck over for quarantine and had kids over for their birthday party. And we invited him and his wife over, their brother, kids and everything. And I just.
When was the last time you talked to him?
Probably a month ago. He did my in-laws documents and I paid him for him. He was trying to give me a deal on it. I said, no, you know, I don't want, you know, deals for referral flow. Like referrals are much more, I said, I feel uncomfortable taking a crazy discount on my business. Cause then I feel like the kids, you know, I feel like the clients would look, you know, I don't feel comfortable with that.
Sure.
So he's like, okay, give me 500. I'm like, no. He's like 1,000. I'm like, no. He's like 1,500. I'm like, fine. You know, like, you know, whereas I wanted to make sure that there'd be no impropriety where I'm like sending clients and I'm getting work done for free. You know, right. I wanted referrals.
I think you need to let him know that in the same directly. So he can't say anything.
Right. The way you pay me is through referrals. So put him on a schedule, Ryan. Put him on in the scheduler. Put him on there as a regular monthly appointment. And then he will know what that's about. If you don't, he's going to think you're going to go away.
Well, that's a good idea. It's almost like a passive pressure on someone.
Yeah.
Keep checking
it. Exactly. Like constant contact.
Right.
That's exactly what it is.
Keep a folder on you and you keep a folder on him. And inside the folder is the introductions given and received. Okay. Did you hear that?
Yeah. And inside the folder needs to be introductions given and received. And I'm going to have introductions given 5, introductions received 0.
Right.
Or he gave somebody my phone number. I'm like, oh, great. That's awesome.
So then mom. And you put the names down and you have 0 down here. You hand it to him and say, this is where we are year to date. We really appreciate the relationship. Love to have some introductions. So we balance this out.
Right.
I mean, you don't want it to be a adversarial relationship. You want him to want to do it, but you got to be there constantly in his face or he's just going to not think about it. Okay. You just have a process. You guys don't have a process. You don't have a checklist. So build a checklist with a process. And this will be whether you merge or not, Ryan. Okay.
Right.
So build Monday as checklist and process day. How's the checklist coming? The process. Do you have the process for bringing in centers of influence? Do you have a process? Where are you in the process? Have you given out the folder? Do you have it scheduled, the monthly calls? Okay. And that's with, you know, that's with everything. Okay. I'm going to let you go have a vacation. Have some fun.
Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate the insight.
Hey, Ryan, Clyde's money came in. That was $500,000, and we converted, and we're converting Staffenberg's account over to managed as well from just some random brokerage account. So
great.
Well, you're out there relaxing. I'm trying to keep the pressure on?
I'm not relaxing. I've been on the phone with Barry for a couple hours today, and we're getting that new account up and running for Keller. It should be incepting another couple hundred today. And we're incepting, incepted 200 for Dixon, and we're incepting, another, 30 for Moss, and, somebody else is getting, Marinas has another 100 coming, or 100, 150 or something. So, Farmer sold her house also.
So, oh, good. Well, good deal.
She got 800, so hopefully we'll be getting a big, you know, she's got to pay taxes, but we're getting a chunk of that.
Is she moving somewhere?
No, she sold Golf and Country. She was renting it.
Oh, okay. So she was still living at her other house. All right.
Yeah, that's the plan.
Well, all right. Yeah, I don't think I'm just having Christine incept these new accounts. So there's nothing that you need to do with them, correct?
Yeah, Barry can trade them.
All right. We'll have them start trading these things soon. Perfect.
All right. I'll see if I can jump on and take a look at the autocall list at some point later when it slows down.
All right. It's not a big deal. Don't worry about it. I was going to tell you, you know.
It's business. We'll
get there.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Talk to you, dude. Enjoy. Bye-bye.